Michael, for inviting me to moderate the Q&A. I have a couple of questions for Susanna, and then I'll open to the audience. And my first question is how this film came about, given that it's related to your previous films.
Yeah, well, actually, the idea to make this film is quite old, and it is connected with the first time when I entered in the archive of the political police in Portugal. It was in 2000, and I was amazed when I saw for the first time the huge albums of Reconnaissance. It's some really huge. When we open, it's like that. And they are completely filled with mugshots of political prisoners, without words, only mugshots. And I was quite impressed with those images. And then an historian told me that there was one single mugshot in this archive of a child. And, well, I discovered it, and I was very impressed. It is the mugshot that you see, that you saw in the film. And I had several ideas to several films. One of them was to make a film about the children of the political prisoners. So I tried to find the little child. It was Rui, with 2 years and a half. I found it, and I spoke with him in 2002 for the first time. And then I start to think about the film. But at the same time, I decided to make another film. Well, it was 2 ideas that came from this staying in the archive. And it was still live, and actually just a film based on archive footage with no words. So I made still life, and then I got... Then after still life, I start to think about another film, which is 48, only with mugshots. And words, and I received this is a little bit confusing, but I received money to do Obscure Light. So in 2006 I start to shoot Obscure Light, 2007, but then I wanted to do 48, so I put Obscure Light aside and start to do 48, and only in the end of 48, I start to work again on still on Obscure Lights, and because my idea of cinema changed between films, so the original idea was far away from what I wanted to do, so this took a long time to think about, and also to find the final form of the film. Yeah, it was a little bit confusing, but okay, more or less it was,
There's obviously similarities in terms of subject matter between 48 and Luz Obscura, and in a way, both films are quite visually austere, but there are some aesthetic differences between one and the other. Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, actually, 48, it's a film made only with mugshots, nothing else, just for a small part of the film by the end, and voices. And it was very important in 48 not to show the person that is speaking today, because otherwise, if I would show the persons, the images, the mugshots would be a kind of illustrations of this, an illustration of this person that, of the past of the person that is speaking today. And so it would create a kind of fracture, a temporal fracture between past and present. And also, if you, in 48, if you would see the person speaking today, immediately the stories would be positioned in the past, because it would be stories from the past. And the idea of 48 was to work with the co-presence of times, not to create a fracture between past and present. So, well, and there was a lot of more reasons to do that. So one of the other was that I wanted to confront the viewer with the actual political prisoner, which is the mugshot, not with the former political prisoner, what would be the person speaking today. And so this is, was, in general terms, the main idea, 48. But in Obscure Light, for me it was paramount to show the people, even if it is once. Because, yeah, and there were some people that asked me, why did you show the faces? Why? Why? Because this is a film about memory, and memory is not only carried by words, but by bodies as well. So for me it was very important not only to hear the sounds of the bodies. It's in this aspect the film is similar to 48, but also to see the people, because they carry in their faces a memory of it's a kind of physiognomic memory also. So, and another thing is, yeah, they are documents. Marcel Ofuls says a sentence. He says that he is interested in the human document, and for me it makes a lot of sense. And in Obscure Light, this human document, it's connected also with the visual face. So it was very important. So this is one main difference, of course. The other ones is that I show images of the present, well, 10 years ago, actually, some of them. But yeah, they are images of the present, images that I shot myself. And so it's, yeah. But I was trying to work with these, I don't know, kaleidoscopic of times, not to create this fracture. Yeah.
Because you're talking about the memory of the body, and in their testimonies they talk about smells and colors.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's already
interesting. Yeah. Yeah, because for me it's important to work with weak memories. I mean, this is Enzo Traverso, the Italian historian, talks about strong memories and weak memories. Strong memories are the memories nurtured by the states, official memories, and the other ones are the hidden memories, subterraneous, underground memories, fragile memories. And for me, I like this idea of working with weak memories. And this is another idea of the film, because, and again, another difference, because in 48, it is the former political prisoner that is portrayed in the picture that is speaking here. We don't have voices, because this is a film with dead people. So they are all dead by now. So it's a kind of confrontation between official memories, that are the memories that are inside the political archive, political police archive, and intimate memories that can open up these images. So for me, this is another important aspect of this film. And also to work the idea of closure, of confinement, not only from the narrative point of view, the testimonies point of view, but also from the cinematic point of view. So it's some of the aspects that I try to work on the film.
Thinking about the strong memory of the state, I mentioned to you before the screening that I saw you in an interview, and you mentioned this idea, this myth of the gentle dictatorship, which is, there's the gentle dictatorship, there's the gentle colonialism that is still sort of prevails, the myth that prevails in Portuguese society. And it's obviously not only inaccurate, but it's a myth that was forged by the dictatorial regime itself. So I was wondering if you see your films as attempts to debunk this very myth that still somehow prevails.
Yes, we can see them like that, because it's true that it's very powerful, this myth. It's still active in the society today. that we had a gentle dictatorship and that our colonialism was gentle. And it's really, this was forged by the regime, the dictatorial regime that used the theories of the sociologist Gilberto Freire that talked about lusotropicalism, the specificity. It called lusotropicalism the specificity of the Portuguese colonialism. And because we used to marry with the people, to mix with the people. So he developed a theory that was used by the dictatorship to spread this idea of the gentle colonialism. And it's astonishing because even people, young people, 18, 20 years, they are totally convinced of this. Mm-hmm. We keep listening this, and of course it's not true. But it's very interesting because this is so strong that when I was making 48, 48 is a film only with mugshots and is focused on torture. It's the red thread of the film is torture. And when I was doing the film, I realized that I could not do the film without going to the former colonies to interview former political prisoners, African political prisoners that were tortured, because torture was so much more violent in the colonies that it's really, it's amazing. No, and people don't talk about that. And when I was about to go there, I have a friend, a historian friend, and he said to me, but why are you going there? This is not the same story. This is colonialism and this is fascism. It's not. Actually, the regime was the same. And one of the people that is interviewed, he said, we had we were much more afraid of the political police than of the army. So it's a matter of it's colonialism, that it's very old, but also it's totally connected with the Portuguese, with the dictatorship. So, but people tend to separate things and of course to avoid looking at the huge amount of death that took place. Also because of the dictatorship,
Another thing that we talked about was that how important it is for oral testimonies about torture and political violence. It is very much important to have a space for those voices to, in a way, to insert their personal experiences against an official historical narrative. But for the perspective of the viewer or the listener, for the witness of firsthand experience, it puts it in a position of somewhat disempowering or even a voyeuristic position. Is this a concern for you when you're making your films? Do you have ways to sort of avoid this positioning of the viewer when confronted with these accounts? Or
totally, yeah. Actually, when I interviewed the three siblings, I was pretty astonished because I interviewed a great amount of ancient political prisoners and older than these ones. And when I start to interview them, I was amazed because they start to talk and things were so alive. They were really flor de pele. Como é que se diz a flor de pele? Very present, very present. And it was like they had happened in the day before. And it was pretty strong. And they were crying all the time, really. And so it's what I tried to do was, well, they were particular sensitive interviews, and I try to pay a lot of attention in the way of using the words and dealing with the testimonies, with this kind of fragility, and also avoiding these moments of great emotion. So, because it's very easy to put the finger and to look, they are crying, look, they are suffering. I don't. Of course, they are, but I don't know. I don't want to work with that. So, I hope to avoid the voyeuristic position of the viewer. I don't know, but yeah, it's something that
I guess my last question will be about your future projects, because I know that at least one of them, a future film, will come out from this one. So if you can talk a little bit about
Yeah, I can talk, but coming back again to this voyeuristic, actually, I pay a lot of attention of words and how the words are being said. Are being said. And also, I give time in the film so that the viewer can think about what he's hearing about. And I think this is totally against this voyeuristic point of view. And I give this space. And also, sometimes I think the viewer can be in a very uncomfortable position, because in some moments he is in the point of view of the person who took the photographs. We have this point of view, because yeah, and giving this time, I think this voyeuristic approach is completely cut. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my next project, actually, I'm finishing a film, because when I start to do this film, my idea was to focus on more families. And I interview another family, but then I decided, when I was talking with the parents are still alive, and of this other family, and I went to their home, and when I was there, I discovered that they had a family album of clandestinity, of underground, and it's really something quite rare, because it's an interdiction. The people that are on the run and that are clandestine, they cannot photograph the family, because this can give a tool to the political police to find the whole family. And suddenly this family had an album. And the most astonishing thing, so this was really pretty amazing that they had this album. But then when you start to see the album, we see the perfect family. It's the mother with a beautiful dress with flowers, cutting roses, the babies, the children. It's really an album based on photographs taken according to the family representations of the 60s and 70s. And when we know the story of this family, it's really completely opposite. So they have four children, but they are never together, because they didn't live together. So they are together in the album, but they didn't live together. Some of them even didn't know other ones. So this is a film based only on family photographs, nothing more. And it's a kind also of Warburgian photographic album, because they have several photos from several times in the same page. So it's really interesting. So my film is about this album again, photographs again, just still pictures. And so this is a film that it's connected with this one, but it's completely different, totally different. And the other one, it's a new project. It's about a colonial farm in Angola. And the idea here is to deal not only with images, but with spaces. And yeah, try to trace the colonial system through a colonial farm.
Thank you. I will open now questions to the audience. Do you have my mic?
Thank you so much. And my question relates exactly to your final point about the new film that I'm excited to hear about Angola, in terms of, it seems that, to me at least, one of the key differences between 48 and Luz Obscura is the role landscape plays. It almost feels like it's a protagonist in this film that we just saw. And it's interesting then to hear that you're working again on two projects, one just with images and one with landscapes. Mm-hmm. So I would just be interested to hear a little bit more about the role that landscape plays and how it's important for you. Both, there's the oral testimonies of places, and then also, obviously, in this one that we just saw, the, how the landscape features on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, the landscape, for me, yeah, when I start to shoot the film back in 2006 and 2007, I was pretty much connected with this idea, with the main categories of painting. I mean, still life, landscape, portrait. So when I shoot with this idea in mind. Of course, that after it was completely broken. I mean, I put it this idea aside. So it's when I was editing the film, I was no more thinking about painting and nor these categories. So it was a completely different idea, and for me it was very important to show this place. Actually, this place, it's a farm where the children went when the three siblings went when they were children, and this is a place that doesn't exist anymore. So this is again already archive, and I was pretty astonished when I entered in this place for the first time, because it's completely ruined, but with traces of this family. So for me, it makes sense to shoot there and also to collect testimonies in this place, because for me it was a kind of catalyst of memories. So actually, the first image, the only image that we see of Alvaro talking, is made in this place. So I was interested in this place mainly because they were there, they lived there, and it's a ruin. It's but then going to the farm of Angola, it's a completely different idea, and it poses so many new problems and so many new questions that I don't know how to answer. But one of them is how can we film a landscape not according to this romantic idea of full of nostalgia of the ruins? So a kind of how to shoot a space that can, that can show or manifest the traumas that are inside it. So it's very complex, and I don't know how to do it. But I just know that I don't want to use the usual tools or the usual aesthetics of the usual aesthetics. It's a little narrow idea, but I'm trying to figure out how can I shoot, film the spaces. Not only landscapes, but also urban spaces and architectural spaces.
Thank you. About your avoiding intensifying moments, I recall in this film, I think there was just one moment of music, and can you help my memory as to where it was and to what your choice, your reasons for having no music elsewhere and the music in that point?
Yes, I can explain. This is another difference from 48. I don't use music at all, and in this film I don't use music at all. Yeah, there is one moment, and it is when Alvaro is speaking about the grandmother, and then he starts to speak about his grandfather and about the problem of the colonies and this idea that the people had to repeat what the others were saying, otherwise they could be arrested. For me, it was the closure of this first, well, not first part, but it's the moment that opens. Well, it's the moment when Alvaro is no more a child, and it's a political prisoner. So it's the repetition of the story. And for me, after hearing all these stories about all these dead people, it's a kind of, I felt the necessity of put just a piece of music, very short, but for me it worked like, I don't know the word in English, lamento,
a sorrow.
Mm. Yeah. And for me it was important to express it through a little piece of music, a small piece of music that suddenly turns into wind, a tempest. So it was a sorrow for the whole story. This was, yeah.
I wondered if you might say a little about the use of water throughout the film in different strong ways. The use of light and dark is self-evident, but to me I was wondering about the use of water. It may be that it's not an appropriate question, and the answer is we have to think about it ourselves because you've already shown it, but do you have any further comment?
Yes, I can explain why I put the water. It's a mix of things, but actually, Isabel, she was born in a small village called The End of the World. And it's a village, nobody knows, of course, but it's a village by the sea. And then, for me, it makes sense to start. And actually, I start to shoot the sea when I shoot Alvaro. Alvaro lives by the sea. And I was, I captured some, I had some conversations with him by the sea. And I start to shoot the sea. So this was the beginning of the sea. So I shoot Alvaro, and then the sea was there, and I shot the sea. Then when I was editing the film, and when I decided to start with Isabel, I decided to show the sea. But the sea was another shot completely different, so I went to shoot it again. And I went to the prison, Peniche. The prison they are talking about is by the sea. And actually, I shot the sea of Peniche. It's just a, for me it makes sense, but it makes not sense to, But I shot there, this sea. So I start to work about it. But of course, for the sea has lots of meanings. It's also the Portuguese sea. This small village of where Isabel was born. It's a kind of Finnish terra. I don't know Finnish terra. It's the end of the earth. And this idea is also connected with the Portuguese sea. That was the sea of the conquerors, and it was a very important mythic construction of the dictatorship. So they were. They start to develop the myth of the empire in the Portuguese sea, but it's a sea that is completely full of bodies, of heathen bodies, of slaves, people that we don't speak about today. So this sea can be connected. For me, it makes sense. And also the way how I deal with it, I work with it, it's a kind of... I work it's in between stillness, movement, solid, liquid. So it's kind of leads to the latencies of memories of history. So for me, it makes sense altogether to work this sea that can be also a sky, something dark, something not a form, something in form. So it was all these ideas connected that made me put the sea. Yeah, my inner reasons. Yeah.
Hi, it's always nice to hear you talk about your films. It gives me so many ideas. This film starts with the text that introduces the idea of the family as the central unit for the dictatorship, sort of replacing citizenship. And I'm thinking of this this project and the new one with their focus on family, and wondering how you how you're thinking about your focus now on the family, or kind of presenting family in also as a primary unit, especially in contrast to 48, which seems to resist that logic and to kind of retain a notion of citizenship, or stripped citizenship, as it were. Just the kind of I'm interested in this transition for your work.
Yeah, actually, the idea of this film was much older than 48. So in this sense, it's older than 48. It's just by chance that I'm working now. But this idea of family, actually, the regime was, it was the basic cell was the family, not citizenship, but at the same time he was totally against these stories of resistance. Shows that this was a completely fake idea. Well, it was an ideological idea, not a practical one. But the interesting thing here is that the resistance was also organized through family nucleus, units, family units. So they were really very important in the resistance, because especially your question is very interesting, because it's not it's not a traditional family. They have threads, blood connections, but actually the mother of Rui was not the mother of Álvaro, but so there are completely mixed families, but they were very important, and one of the figures that were very important was the grandmothers. And for me, more important is to see the role of women here, because nobody talks about them, especially the grandmothers, but they were there. So as a kind of pillar of these children that can be from different mothers or different fathers, it depends on if the grandmother is a grandmother through the son or the daughter. So yeah, but it's this family net. It was very important during the resistance times. So actually, I'm not so interested in the family in the traditional sense of the term, but in these blood connections, yeah. And the resistant roles, because actually, for a single political prisoner, In this case, Otávio Pato is the only one that in Portugal some people still know who he is. Now it's a memory that it's fading, but it was the only person that they know. But for this person, we have a lots of members of the same family that were imprisoned. So it's they configure a network, and it is in this sense that it interested me. And on the other case, the family album is because it's amazing, but it's what, again, what does photograph shows us, or what are the constructions of this kind of discourse of photography that is completely opposite to reality. I mean, yeah.
In regard to gentle colonialism, was there a backlash from the populace against the movie, and was it difficult to get the children to talk about their experiences?
The first part?
Yeah, because of the gentle colonialism that people believe in Portugal, then would it be hard for them to see the movie and...
No. Actually, the film was it was not. It's going to be theatrically released next April, May, in May. So only then I can see the reactions. So I don't know, but I can say that with 48, the first time the film was shown, people ignored it totally, but totally. It was only when he started to travel and to won prizes that I could show it 2 years later on cinemas. And then people start to talk, but the reviews were very good, and also the reaction of the people. And they got very curious about the stories. But as for the children, it was very strange, because first time I spoke with Rui, he started to talk. It was the first time that he talked about his story, and he started to talk, and he told me everything of his life. So it was very easy to in this sense that he was eager. He wanted to tell the story of his life. On the contrary, with Isabel, it was one of the most painful interviews I had, because she told me, I don't remember anything, I don't want to talk, but I know that this is a mission and that I have to talk. So I start to shoot her, but I was pretty nervous, me and her, because I was always asking myself, can I ask this? Am I allowed to do that? What? So she answered, but it was really, it was a very delicate interview. Yeah. But they want to talk because of this idea of mission, because they have to this idea of transmission, because somehow these threads of transmission were broken. During lots of years, nobody talked about them, about political prisoners. Now it's different. They start to appear in the public space, but nobody talked about them. So, for them it's important to give the visibility of their stories and the resistance, of course, yeah. Thank you very much.